Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. Jane Ellen here with Adam Cravens, and we are going to actually review a movie that's kind of scary. We're sort of in the dark, and we're going to tell stories.
I think most of those things are accurate. If not, they're accurate enough.
So, scary stories to tell in the dark?
Is that the title? Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, scary stories is kind of what's emphasized, and then you've got to tell in the dark is kind of the smaller part of it.
Well, scary stories told in the daylight are not as scary.
Or like scary stories told at a Starbucks. Like, they're just, I agree, I think.
And I didn't have tip money. You know, that is scary.
This is not foamy enough.
I wanted the skinny mocha. Anyway, so, who's in this? No one I know?
Really, no one of any import. Like, most of the people...
Their parents think they're important.
Well, I mean, or hopefully their parents think they're important. Mm. That's not always a guarantee.
That's true. But these are all basically newcomers or just character actors or filmed in Canada, what?
As you and I were discussing earlier, it only cost $25 million to do. Mm-hmm. And you know how you get to a $25 million budget?
Yeah.
You don't hire Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
That's one of the first. Or Leonardo DiCaprio. Don't hire either of those people if you want to keep your budget under $25 million. Because those guys don't work for scale.
No, they
I'm
do not.
Reasonably certain.
And then they have to bring their people.
Right. And I'm sure, like, your craft services budget probably quadruples at the point that they're there. And they're like, well, I wanted caviar.
And I'll
multiple
be honest.
Multiple colors of caviar.
If I was in that position where I was a successful actor and I had people I really liked to work with, hair, makeup, that kind of thing, I would tend to try to want to have them with me because I know they do a good job and we got along instead of constantly having to meet someone new. You get to a point where you don't want to meet any more new people.
But that's also a lot easier when your budget's $90 million.
Exactly.
Or $200 million.
So $25 million, this sounds like a three-month shoot to me.
Probably not like on location everywhere in the world. Like it's not quite like James Bond 25.
Were you dazzled by special effects?
Now, the special effects and like I guess kind of the atmosphere is some of the best stuff in the movie. If you have this movie reminded me a lot of Goosebumps.
There was some creepiness in that.
Well, it wasn't the film is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It wasn't a direct adaptation of like any particular book, but it kind of took from I guess bits and pieces of it that it wanted. And much in the same way, this is a 3-book series. Like it's a Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Scarier Stories, and then Scary Stories 3, I believe. They were late '80s to early '90s. And this isn't a direct edit. I had not read the book, but Kristen had read it when she was a kid, and she really enjoyed it. And she was pointing out like some of the differences and like some of the stuff that they had omitted and like some of the stuff that they had added to it.
I really didn't think you were going to pull out Kristen read the book to the horror movie.
Apparently, like she was a big fan. Like this is not like she is not like a come lately on the horror movie thing.
Oh yeah,
like,
she's hardcore.
And apparently, before she was watching them, like she was reading about them and like you know forming scary images in her head.
I see. Wow.
Because I think we had put it was this or The Kitchen, like that we were going to see and. I was leaning toward The Kitchen because it's based on a comic book. She is the horror movie fan, and unbeknownst, I didn't even know it was based on a book until she hit me with that, because usually I'm the one that pulls out the, well, in 1995, such and such decided to release this originally under the title.
So she liked it.
Yeah. I mean, both of us enjoyed it. I think the issue both of us had with it, because it's PG-13, it's not R, like your traditional horror film is. It feels like it's made for, they're trying to make it for kids, but it's a little too scary for kids. Like, it does have some genuinely, like, scary moments in the movie that are probably too scary for the intended audience.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested from high atop the podcast center, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry, Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about this week's movie, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
But on the flip side of that, as an adult, it wasn't so scary that I'm not shaking in my boots. I'm just like, oh, that's eerie. But
so it was eerie stories to tell in the dark.
Almost.
For you.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, it's stories that are too scary for the PG-13, like, an under crowd.
Okay.
Like,
so, on a scale of Crawl to The Exorcist, where does this fall?
I would say it's probably about, like, a six. It's not The Exorcist. Like, nobody's turning their heads around. Mm-hmm. They're not vomiting like green bile. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into that part of the movie, but yeah, it's not The Exorcist, but it's like I said, it's not Toy Story 4 either. And there was a point in it that I'm trying to figure out, would I let the kid, like, cause the kids are obsessed with horror movies.
We
went to see, what was it the other day? But, well, there was a preview for, It Part 2, and they're all just like, yes! And I'm like, No. And they're like, but it's not scary, Dad. And I'm just like, right. Well, you're going to wake me up at 2:00 in the morning when you think a murder clown is in your closet, okay?
There's always a murder clown. You know, you may be on the way to not having to see these films because they're not your favorite genre, and just let my youngest child go with your wife, and they can both enjoy the creepiness together, and we don't have to take any part of it.
That would be a lot. That would be easier.
Yeah, it sure would.
On me. So, and I say easier because I sit there and I watch moving images on the screen.
Yeah,
so
no,
I mean,
it's not that hard.
Yeah, I'm not really breaking a sweat like when it's happening.
Now, do you think this would be a good one to start Jenna on? Because she'll be 13 in just a few days. She's decided that she's ready to watch these types of films.
It like I said, it's a bit more adult than I think its age range. So this may actually be, if she's wanting to get to like a creepier, like,
yes,
more atmospheric place. But again, you don't want to hit her over the head with like the hard R that, mm-hmm, like, you know, there's just bile and blood and, like, you know, everything like shooting everywhere all over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where you want to have somewhere to go up from. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, I would say like your novice fan or, mm-hmm, or your, you know, as an adult, I also don't find this stuff as scary maybe as I should, because when I'm thinking about that, like if I'm thinking about, oh, what if that guy stabbed me? And I'd be like, oh, well, I wouldn't have to pay my bills anymore. That's not terrible.
Mm.
But on the flip side, like, you also can't make a horror movie about, like, oh, the mortgage that wasn't paid.
Yeah, that would be truly.
But I'm saying, like, you throw that at me, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness. All right, I got to sit down, guys.
So some of these historical films that have debtor's prison, those scare you?
That bothers me a lot more. Like, yeah, honestly, debt, more than anything else, bothers me. Like, knife-wielding crazies, I'll meet you on the crazy plane, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind fighting crazy with crazy. And like, if I lose it in the end, that's fine. At least I tried. But again, like, you know, when you say $200,000 in debt, I'm just like, oh, I'm sick. I need to sit down. I need to sit down.
Yeah, I can see that. So, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, a good for the beginner, reasonably satisfying for the fans of the books.
Well, and it has a pedigree to it as well. Guillermo del Toro.
I did not think you were going to follow that with agree.
I'm just putting it out there. initially, I think the plan was for him to direct this movie, because he loves to not direct, mm-hmm, projects that he attaches. He did write it. He has a producer credit, like, on it. So he was very, and like, if you'll look at, like, say, Pan's Labyrinth, and then look at some of the special effects or even some of the stylistic choices in this movie, you can definitely tell that Del Toro, who really should be his own, like, genre. As much as, like, Steven Spielberg movies are definitely Steven Spielberg movies,
mm-hmm,
like, Del Toro movies definitely have their own flavor. Like, and it's very apparent, and like, I'd be interested to have seen what would have happened if he had have continued on and actually directed instead of just wrote and produced it.
So, it has made money.
Yeah.
I mean, $25 million to make, and so far, did it just open the other day?
It's, I think it's been out for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, so it's made $40 million. It may make $55 million. before it's pulled. I mean, that's...
You've also got your, you know, video on demand. Yeah. Like, it will turn a profit, but, like, I don't think it's the kind of money that instantly greenlights a sequel, which is the way the film ends. It also definitely implies that if they decided to further this, mm-hmm. there are avenues left to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But an okay movie to see.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't have to run out to the theater. Unless it's, you know, matinee day.
Honest to goodness, like, this is one I think I would have enjoyed, like, renting. If I'm back in the day, if it's, like, you know, the 90s, I'm in high school, and we're at a video store, and we're grabbing, like, VHSs to watch a marathon on Friday night or something, this would have been the kind of movie that's good for that.
Right.
I don't feel that it necessarily warrants, like, seeing it on the big screen. There's nothing about it that screams to me, like, you need to see this puppy in 7.1 surround sound. It needs to be big as life. Like, and you need to see it with 300 other people.
Yeah, no.
But okay. It's amusing. Yeah. It's amusing enough that I would say if this is a genre that interests you, it's definitely worth your time to watch at least once.
Okay. Excellent. Well, do you know what's coming out next week? Because I'm drawing a blank.
There's not a whole lot. Angel Has Fallen. Is that it? It's the Olympus Has Fallen. The one with Morgan Freeman.
Oh.
And
Well, maybe it's time for you to do that dog driving in the rain movie. It sounds like something you would never go see on purpose.
Dog driving in the
rain? The dog's not driving. It's the something about rain and there's a dog and crying. It's like Marley and Me, but involving race cars on the same dog. I'm assuming the dog eventually dies.
Did you fall asleep watching Cars and, like, one of your dogs started, like, licking you?
What? Heather Graham is in it, I think, or somebody. What's the dog movie that's out now?
You have lost
it's me. Seriously.
No,
you're not even aware of this film.
There's a lot. There's a lot of movies.
All right. We're Googling. Driving Fast. The Art of Driving in the Rain. Told you.
I was just saying, it did sound like a fever dream induced by watching Cars and getting licked by a dog.
Yeah, that's true. Now, the IMDb score is a 7.3. However, we got a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's from the critics, and a 96% from the audience. So, The Art of Racing in the Rain. Yeah, I have no desire to see it whatsoever, but I think you need to see it. Sounds horrible. It's Amanda. It's Amanda Seyfried.
Seyfried?
Her. It's her. And Kathy Baker. So there. And Gary Cole. And Kevin Costner as as the dog. Kevin Costner is voicing the dog.
That's the only, you know, it'd be better if it was Kevin Costner dressed.
Voicing the beaver.
Dressed as a dog.
That, like, would it's be just, hilarious.
Like, everything about it, like, very realistic and everything, but then you get to and it's obviously Kevin Costner in a dog costume.
But it's Kevin Costner talking. It's like, hey, Kevin, can you do an old Harrison Ford, as meaning Harrison Ford as an old man imitation? Yes.
He's like, I don't even have to imitate that. No. It's what I do.
Yes.
What I do.
So, yeah, that dog driving in the rain movie. I'm assuming the dog dies. That's.
Or it runs away from home, or it has to get to home.
Drives.
That seems like it would. Kevin Costner voicing a dog that can drive, like, maybe you have me on board there.
I don't think that's the story.
Anthropomorphic dog voiced by Kevin Costner. It's a weird title, but I think it would put people in the seats.
How about anthropomorphic shaggy dog who holds a white-collar professional job voiced by Kevin Costner?
Speaking of shaggy dog, do you happen to remember who the villain was in the Tim Allen remake?
I did not see.
The late aughts?
No.
It's Robert Downey Jr. Jr. that I
now I'm going to have to
not,
watch.
Not Robert Downey Sr. Not Robert Downey the Third.
So this is RDJ before Chaplin.
This is after.
Okay, so this is in the middle of the breakdown.
This is I think when he's just like, well, I got to eat. This is well before he is the main star of the highest grossing film of all time. I had completely forgotten it, and I was flipping. I was on IMDb for some reason. I happened to hit his, and I went, wait, what was he in the show? I was like, Tim Allen. He was the... I need to revisit
the
this.
The Duke of was in Beethoven.
But I'm saying, like, those are not the parts you, and especially not, like, the man who has championed, like, you know, as Iron Man over the course of 10 years has got, like, five movies that he's been in that have grossed $1 billion, one of which was not Shaggy Dog. Did not make $1 billion.
That's funny. Anyway, we digress. So I'm going to try to make Adam see a movie that I myself won't watch because, A, crying,
even,
and
I don't... Even if we were at the theater together, we would not go see.
Nope. Plus, I don't like to drive in the rain.
No.
And I know if there's a dog in the movie, it's probably going to end up dead because I saw the dog as a puppy and the dog older is like, I don't want to go there.
It's dogs eventually age to the point. They're just like humans.
Yeah, I'm not interested in seeing that at all. But you can suffer through it gladly. Thank you so much for listening to PGS. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.